in our kitchen at home. We've got a little heart-shaped blackboard that we got a few years ago. It's been up there a couple of years now, and it's only a small thing, but I had this great idea of putting on it a Bible reference. I thought every few weeks I could put a different Bible reference there up on the blackboard and, you know, just slowly start learning some different verses. So the first verse I wrote on it, you couldn't write the whole verse, but just the reference, I wrote 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12, which says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12. Why do I know that verse so well? Well, because that verse is still on the little heart-shaped blackboard hanging in my kitchen 2 years later. I wonder if you've ever tried to learn Bible verses, get into a habit of memorizing different bits of the Bible. Here at St. Altman's, we've tried a few different ways to do it, and I think it's a very valuable thing. I'm sure it is, because we can incorporate them into our prayers. You know, sometimes you're praying and you feel like you're saying the same thing again and again. Well, if you've got some Bible verses that are memorized, then you can just start praying Bible verses. Or using the language of the Bible, which is such a powerful thing to do. You can share them with people. If you're visiting someone who's ill or just lost their job or whatever it is they're facing, and you've got a Bible verse, you can share it with them. When you're on the bus, when you're shut out of King's Cross, when you're whatever you're doing in an idle moment, you can think about those verses that you know. You've got them in your head. Perhaps you get a little, well, perhaps even intimidated when you hear people quoting from the Bible, chapter and verse, and you think, well, you could never do that. But look, here's the trick. When people quote chapter and verse, they don't know the whole Bible chapter and verse. So if someone comes around to my house and asks me what 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 12 says, I'll tell them. If they ask me what verse 11 says, I haven't got a clue. So you don't need to know the whole Bible off by heart, bits of it. So if you're a Christian and you want to know God's Word better, what a great thing to have 10, 20, 50 verses at your fingertips, at the forefront of your mind, that you can just bring out when needed. And of course that can just start, if you've never done it before, it can start with just one. When Mark, our previous vicar, he left in the summer, when he was here, he had us have a theme verse for each year. One verse which we had through the year. It was up on the screen, it was on the service sheets and the notice sheets. So all year we had one verse that we were had there in front of us. And I wonder if some of those have sunk in. Some of you regulars are now looking a bit worried. Does anyone happen to know what the verse was for 2014? Anyone know what our theme verse for the year was, 2014? Oh, we've got it here. Go on, Deborah. Fantastic. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Where's it from? Anyone else? Okay. Well, that's okay. That was last year's homework, so forget about that. That was our verse last year, 1 Timothy 1:15. This saying is trustworthy and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. I know we're technically still in 2014, but this morning I want to introduce our theme verse for 2015. And that's going to be from our reading in Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. So you'll see it's on your notice sheet this morning. And the verse says this, Joel 2, 32. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Some of the children have got that verse as a colouring sheet. So if you colour those in nicely, we can display them in the hall to remind some of the grown-ups. So this time next year, they will know it. But it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I've picked that verse because we're looking at the book of Joel in our evening services, starting on the 11th. No evening service tonight, no evening service next week, but on the 11th of January, we're going to be starting to look at the book of Joel. But also, that verse ties in nicely to the verse from Timothy. Because you see, that verse from last year, 1 Timothy, says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The verse from Joel tells us that sinners, when they call on Jesus, will be saved. This whole idea of being saved, salvation, is also a great Christmas theme, isn't it? And so the angel said to Joseph, call him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from his sins. The word Jesus, meaning the Lord saves. In the Magnificat, you know, Mary's song, she says, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Zechariah, in his song, he speaks about God raising up a horn of salvation. The angels say to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. Salvation, Saviour, saved. Again and again, this repeated theme. And a wonderful verse for us to concentrate on this year. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And this morning I just want to introduce it. And think a little bit about that verse and what it means for us. If you want to properly get into the book of Joel, then you've got to come to the evening services. Or if you're visiting this morning and not from around these parts, then you can read it yourselves. But briefly this morning, I want to put this verse into context for us. Jodie's done a little bit of that already as she introduced the reading. It is a bit of a mysterious book. It's only these three chapters. Joel isn't mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. Makes it very tricky to date it, and there's various theories about just when it was written. And yet there's these themes that run through it that are relevant for every age. Joel is a prophet during a plague of locusts. And locusts were devastating for the Israelites. We sometimes lose the hit of it, I think. If our association with locusts is mainly watching celebrities try and eat them or swim through them on game shows. But this isn't talking about just an annoying wasp flying around your picnic. When the Bible speaks about this plague of locusts, this was a catastrophic, devastating event for the people. You may have seen reports from time to time on the news about locust plagues. I read that apparently a typical locust swarm eats the same amount in a day as 2,500 humans would eat. So for an agricultural economy, such as the Old Testament Israelite one, locusts were catastrophic. The equivalent today would be credit crunch, stock market crash, deep recession. When an event like this happens, it brings with it fear, uncertainty, and poverty. See, if the locusts attacked your field, then that's it. Your salary, your savings for the entire year are gone. But Joel doesn't only talk about locusts. He talks about locusts, and he uses that as an illustration, as a picture, to point forward to a worse crisis to come. That is the day of the Lord. He uses this phrase, the day of the Lord. It's what we would maybe call judgment day. The end times when God judges the world. And Joel tells us here, look, it doesn't matter what crisis it is you're facing. At the moment we're facing this crisis of locusts. In the future we're going to be facing the crisis of God's judgment against how we've lived our lives. The solution is the same. What do you need to do? You need to repent, which means turn around. You need to turn back to God, receive his mercy and salvation. And he comes to this this great verse, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to pick out three aspects of the verse this morning for us to think on and ponder on. Firstly, the scope of the invitation. Secondly, the certainty of the salvation. And thirdly, the exclusivity of the promise. So the first thing from that verse, first thing I want to notice is the scope of the invitation. This is an invitation for everyone. This is an invitation for the rich and the poor, for the young and the old, for the educated and the uneducated, for the happy and the sad. This is an invitation for everyone. So it says, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls. And the wonderful thing about the word everyone is it includes you. It's everyone. And this then is an invitation for you. I don't know how you are with replying to invitations. I tend to be fairly bad at replying to them. If I don't do it immediately, I put it down and forget about it. And then quickly the weeks pass and you realise you've missed the RSVP date. I was writing this sermon through the week and realised there were two that I'd not replied to, two invitations, both of which I attempted to reply to, one of which I got an automatic response to, so I need to apologise to that one later. But this is an invitation that you don't want to put off dealing with. You see, this invitation that comes to everyone is one that you can't delay till later. Because all those who call on the name of the Lord, if you like, all those who RSVP, shall be saved. It's that word again, saved, saviour, salvation. What does that mean? Well, for Joel's hearers, being saved didn't mean having some sort of protective force field around their crops. It didn't mean that their earthly problems would instantly be solved. For us, when we call on the name of the Lord, looking to be saved, it doesn't mean that immediately you'll have an end to your illness, your unemployment, your stress, your grief, your family tensions. Rather, when he talks about being saved, talking about being rescued in a lasting and ultimate sense by a lasting and ultimate rescuer. Being saved is being rescued in a lasting and ultimate sense by a lasting and ultimate rescuer. As some of you will be familiar with zip files on the computer, you know when you need to send something that's too big, you can put it in a zip file and email it to someone. And then it comes to their end, and they unzip it. If you're not familiar with that, think about when you're going away for Christmas, and you've got to shove too much into a suitcase, and so you just like cram it all in, and you're putting far too much in there, but you get the zip closed anyway. You get to your destination, you open the email, you unzip it. What happens? A whole load of stuff flies out. Okay. Think about the word salvation. Then being saved as a sort of zip file, as a sort of overstuffed suitcase. There's so much in this word being saved that when you kind of start to unzip it, all sorts of words tumble out. All sorts of ideas are connected with it because being saved brings with it the idea that there's something to be saved from. And of course that is God's judgment, God's wrath, our own sin and rebellion. But it also brings in the idea of being saved from it, rescued, forgiveness of that sin, avoidance of that wrath of God, adoption as God's children, being made holy. The Bible word is that is sanctified, being included in God's people, being part of Christ's body, being brought into the church, having everlasting life, having new life, heaven. All those sorts of ideas are crammed into this word, being saved. So you see, to be saved is such a wonderful thing. Salvation is such a huge thing that this is not an invitation to be ignored. This verse, Joel 2:32, is quoted twice in the New Testament. Once is in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. This is right at the start of the church. It's what we call the day of Pentecost, where Peter stands up to preach. And the Holy Spirit has just come on the disciples, and that's one of the main reasons that he chooses to quote Joel 2 about this wonderful prophecy of the Spirit coming down on all people. And yet as he preaches that, Peter is offering the invitation to the crowds assembled in Jerusalem,
that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That even includes, Peter says, that even includes the wicked men amongst you who put Jesus to death. Those who hounded him all the way to the cross and those who were pleased to see him die. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter also makes clear that back in the Old Testament, calling on the name of the Lord meant calling on Israel's God. Of course, when we get to the New Testament, we find that Jesus is Israel's God. So to call on the name of the Lord is to call on the name of Jesus. I'm sure you're popular folk. You probably get many invitations for New Year, New Year's Eve. You get them all through the door or emails, and you have to weigh them up. You know, which is the most attractive proposition? Which looks like it's going to be the best fun? And you go for it. Well, you can't do that with God's invitation here. See, if the Queen invites you round for tea, you don't give it a few months to see if your friends might be planning a trip to the cinema. No, you reply straight away. And so for us, when we hear that this invitation is for us to be saved, then we should reply straight away and come to God. Call on Jesus and be saved. Many of you perhaps are very regular at church and are used to hearing this time and time again. Perhaps some of you, it's been different this year. Perhaps even something you've heard over Christmas services has made you think, well, maybe there's more to Jesus. Maybe I need to take him more seriously than I have. And maybe it's today for you to call on the name of the Lord. The scope of the invitation. The second thing I want to bring out is the certainty of the salvation. The certainty of the salvation. All of us are looking for assurance, reassurance, affirmation from those around us. You've probably seen the little t-shirts and things that you can get for babies saying things like, I love daddy, and my mummy's the best mummy in the world. You've seen those sorts of things? It's interesting that when children are old enough to choose their own clothes and read, they don't often choose clothes that say, I love daddy, and my mummy's the best mummy in the world. Why do we do it? It's sort of, looking for assurance and affirmation. It's better, I suppose, to put a t-shirt on the child saying, Daddy loves me. At least then we're on safe ground. But we all do it, don't we? We do it all the time. When you're in a group of people and you crack a joke, you're always looking to the people in the room who you most want to get the joke, who you most want to have appreciation from or response from. If you're in a difficult conversation, perhaps at work or at home, you're kind of looking around, you look for the moral support, people who you think might be on your side, always looking for that assurance, affirmation. Well, you see, this verse gives a Christian full assurance, full affirmation, full certainty. No need to look around anywhere else, because this verse says that for a Christian, one who's called on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. If you've called on the name of the Lord, if you've come to Jesus in repentance, you shall be saved. It's a done deal. And in fact, it gets even better. I'm going to read the whole of verse 32. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to who calls in this verse. Who calls? Who does the calling? And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. You see, two calls. There's the people who call to God, but at the end of the verse it's because the Lord has called them to him. Those who call on the Lord are the ones the Lord has called to himself. You see, this is what gives us the great assurance. This is what gives us the certainty of our salvation. The fact that when we call out to the Lord, it's actually a sign that he has already called us to himself. Now, this brings us to this topic of predestination. And it's a word that people become a bit uneasy around it, even a bit uncomfortable with it. And I grant that it's not the easiest, most straightforward thing to get your head around. It raises issues and difficulties and questions. But at heart, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's something that I encourage you to not put aside and think that it's something too technical or something that it's, you're not sure about, but rather to embrace it because the Bible teaches it so consistently. And it really is a tremendous thing. Because it tells you this, that when you call out to God, when you call out to God, trying your best to make sense of your life, to make sense of who He is, and crying out in desperation for mercy, you know that He has already called out to you. It's like the little baby clinging on onto their parent, for dear life holding on. But why don't they fall? Because the parent has their arms around the baby. When you call to God, God has already called to you. The certainty of salvation. And you see, if you're a Christian, this puts things in perspective. This really does put things in perspective. We've had to slightly change some of our Christmas plans because of illness in the family. And it's a bit frustrating, but it's really not a big deal. We'll get over it. You know, sometimes we have things in our life that are much more important than that, and again, they can overwhelm us. Situations at work, or again, chronic illness or bereavement, and whatever it is that's facing us can just seem so difficult. And it's like the walls of our life are just crashing down around us. Perhaps we seem completely alone and abandoned and overwhelmed. Well, then in that moment, bring this verse to mind. Bring this verse to mind that says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I have called on the name of the Lord, so I shall be saved. And that puts everything in perspective, because that tells me that my Heavenly Father does love me, that He is going to take me to be with Him. And actually what I'm facing now is, although it seems like such a mountain and such a burden at the moment, from the perspective of eternity, it'll seem so trivial. And I'll be able to delight in the presence of the one who called me to Himself. You know, so many people in our society are struggling with depression. So many people struggle with depression, that feeling day by day, and it's difficult to get out of bed. It's difficult to do the little tasks that you have to do during the day, and you feel so low and you can't motivate yourself. And what a horrible and debilitating thing that is. But what a wonderful thing it is that in the midst of even that darkness, to know the certainty of salvation, to know that there is a God who loves you and a God who has called you to Himself. Even death has lost its sting. So what a comfort you can draw from the certainty of the salvation. Thirdly and finally, the exclusivity of the promise. Exclusivity of the promise. That's not a very snappy title, but what I'm getting at is this. In that verse, who will be saved? Who will be saved? You see, it's not everyone. It's not everyone. It's everyone who calls. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. I imagine many of you saw the Queen's speech on Christmas Day, and one of the things that she said was that her Christian faith and her belief in Jesus had taught her to respect those of different faiths and none. Well, that is true. That is a good and right thing that Christianity should teach us, to respect all people. But that doesn't mean that we have to accept what they say. It doesn't mean that we can't criticize their belief. It doesn't mean that we can't say they're plain wrong. Because Jesus doesn't ask for a stall in the religious marketplace to offer His ideas and opinions. No, rather, Jesus comes with this unbelievable claim, demanding full allegiance, claiming to be uniquely God, claiming to be uniquely qualified to take you to God, to give you salvation. What does He say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who comes through Jesus to the Father, everyone who calls on Jesus, the Savior, those are the ones who will be saved. It's an exclusive promise. The invitation is so wide because it's for everyone. But the exclusive nature of it is that it's everyone who calls, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So for us, for those who have been called, for those who've been saved? Well, the onus is on us to tell others. And of course, this is the other thing that this verse motivates us to and drives us to evangelism, to spreading the good news of Jesus. This is the other time that the verse is quoted in the New Testament. Paul uses it in Romans. You don't need to turn to this, but it's Romans 10. Let me read it. Romans 10:13, Paul says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him and of whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" So Paul says, look, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The application of that, the motivation for that then, is we'll go and tell people so that they can call. And I pray that this year, we here at St. Altman's, as well as individuals gathered here this morning, would be those who are seeking to tell others about Jesus so that they can call on him and be saved. Well, here's a verse then for the new year. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. You see, if you learn it in the next few days, then you've done your homework for the whole year. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a wonderful verse. I've just highlighted some things. The scope of the invitation, the certainty of the salvation, the exclusivity of the promise. So many things to hold on to in that one little verse. As I say, it's going to be on the screen. It will be on the notice sheets all year, or at least until we get a new vicar with his own ideas. But let us all respond to that invitation straight away. Let us delight that God has called us. Let's draw comfort from the assurance it gives us. And let's grow in our boldness to tell others. Because it is true and it is wonderful that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.